Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask you during the Holy Spirit that we have this great spirit of gratitude, the wonderful gifts we celebrate, which your Son Jesus gave us in this holy night. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit. My dear friends and clients, tonight indeed this holy night, as we celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist, Jesus' very body, blood, soul, divinity, that is always with us, and the gift of the Holy Priesthood by which we have the Eucharist, that we have Christ with us. And also, it's the night in which we commemorate, remember the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, but also by the other apostles who did not stick by his side. And he knew in the divinity, he knew that he would be betrayed, but it says in the Gospel he loved them to the end. He knew that by instituting the sacrament of the Eucharist, he knew in the depths of his heart that he would be rejected by so many, would be appreciated by so few, and not just at that moment in time, 2,000 years ago, but down through the centuries, even to our very day. Anytime someone says, Father, you know my faith is shaken. Well, why? All the scandals and things in the church. And I'm thinking, where have you been? 2,000 years ago, 11 out of the 12 apostles weren't right by the Lord's side all the time. They were weak men and they failed. They were sinners. That was all sinners. But they weren't there. So the church is a hospital for sinners. We all fall from the ground. We all, at one time or another, have betrayed the Lord. We start pointing out, look at this, look at that. Stop for a second and look back at yourself. How many times you betrayed the Lord? How many times all of us have betrayed the Lord? We all sinners, we all need God's mercy. Despite all that, he loves us to the end. He never stops loving us. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, on this Holy Thursday night, and Benedict focused on this a few years ago, he said that Jesus Christ said this, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He had an eager desire. In his heart, he awaited the moment when he would give himself to his own under the appearance of bread and wine. There's this eager desire that Jesus, this desire that God wants us to be united with himself. This expectant love is eagerly anticipating this Holy Thursday night. A love, the Holy Father says, which awaits the moment of union, a love which wants to draw mankind back to itself. Jesus desires us. Jesus awaits us, despite all of our sinfulness, because he knows that he is the remedy for our sins. We have to ask ourselves, do we really desire him? How eager is our desire to be united with him in Holy Communion? How eager is our desire to spend time face to face with him in the Blessed Sacrament and Eucharistic adoration? So this night is a great gift that we're commemorating our Lord, the Eucharist, the priesthood, but also it's a moment that we have to examine our conscience. Is Christ that I really appreciate for this gift of himself? Am I spending at least an hour in Eucharistic adoration, each week in the beautiful chapel that God has blessed us with? Am I striving to receive the Lord and communion not just on Sundays, but am I looking for opportunities throughout the week, maybe Saturday morning, Tuesday evening, somewhere to try Sedera of receiving our Lord more? If we truly hunger and desire for the Lord, we will be looking for those opportunities. You know, love is not minimalism. Love is always looking to do more. Love is always looking to sacrifice, to lay it all out on the line. Now, Jesus Christ, our faith tells us that the Eucharist is the source, center, and summit of life. We ask ourselves, what do we want from life? What do we truly desire? What is our object? What is our focus? Where do we draw our lives, motivation, and power? Where do we look for happiness? Where do we look to be content with peace? The ultimate motivation, the purpose, the center, the object must be God, must be Jesus Christ. Especially for us Catholics, we know Jesus in the Eucharist. Now think about this. Let's see if this works. The eye, the object of the eye, we need light, right? The eye to function the way it's supposed to. Without light, the eye is really useless, right? The ear, without sound, it's useless. The intellect, our intellect is designed to hunger and to know the truth, to find peace for the mind. If we don't have truth, we won't have peace. And the will that we have, the object of the will God designed is for the good, which is ultimately Jesus Christ, to have that love, the perfect love in our heart. Once we lose sight of the true object of life and everything, in one sense we become useless. We're not being what we're supposed to be. Maybe we use this analogy, it's like having a race car. You have the best engine, the best tires, all this other thing. But if you're sitting in the garage, not doing anything, we're called to live a life in union with Christ so we can be with Him all eternity in heaven. Now there was a doctor, Viktor Frankl. Some of you may have heard of him. He wrote a number of books. One was Man's Search for Meaning. Man's Search for Meaning in Life. He died just in 1997, but he was a Holocaust survivor. And shortly after he was buried, he and his wife were taken away to the concentration camps during World War II. Now, he was a psychiatrist, and he, you know, human personalities, he would study different things, he was observing a lot of things during the concentration camps, and he noticed that once a prisoner entered into discouragement, death was just around the corner. But there were ones that had hope and keep going on, and they would fight, and they would fight and keep pushing forward for existence. They had a hope in their heart, and the hope was motivated by the object of love. A lot of them were thinking of maybe their wife, maybe thinking of their children, thinking of their parents. Now, someone loved them, and they knew in their hearts that they were loved by this person, and they longed then to be back with that person in their presence again. So the people that had that, he said, they kept going forward. And then he described the conditions in the camp. And then he said, one particular horrible day in the camp, he said, the thought transfixed me. For the first time in my life, I saw the truth as it's set out in the song by so many poets and proclaimed as the final wisdom by so many thinkers. The truth that love is the ultimate and highest goal to which man can aspire. We're created to love and to be loved. Then I grasped the meaning of the greatest secret that human poetry, human thought, and belief have to impart. The salvation of man is through love and in love. Now, he's not a Catholic. He's a practicing Jew, and he lands up marrying a Catholic. The second wife, first wife, died in the concentration camps. But God, so he knew that God, thought of love, that God, I understood how man has nothing left in this world. He may have nothing in the material. He may have health may be gone. He may have the worst human conditions that they have in the concentration camps often. But he said, but only for a brief moment when they contemplate the object of the love. It's a strength that motivates them to keep going forward. In a position of utter desolation, when man cannot express himself in a positive action, and his only achievement may consist in enduring his sufferings in the right way, or an honorable way, in such a position, man can, through loving contemplation of the image he carries of his beloved, can achieve fulfillment. Achieve fulfillment in their heart. Really going with the meaning of life is. Now for us Catholics, what a beautiful gift that we have, that we know that Jesus Christ on Holy Thursday night, that he took up the bread, the wine, and he transformed it, transubstantiation, substance of it, to his body, his blood, soul, and divinity. And he told his apostles, do this in remembrance of me. The church at that moment when Christ gave them that order, he commanded them that he gave them the power to transubstantiate the bread, the wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And all the saints for 2,000 years, they all knew that. Every single saint, Anna, Saint, Blessed Saint, they all had a great love for Jesus and the Eucharist. And some of the saints have gone through horrible, horrible conditions, things you can't imagine. But they had this motivation and love in their heart. They knew that they were loved by God, a God who died on the cross, a God that loved them so much, did not want to be an orphan, his presence still here on earth in the tabernacle in the Eucharist. St. Faustina, by the way, we start the Divine Mercy Novena tomorrow, and we're passing out, so I encourage you, all of you, to do that, take advantage of it as an invention of God's great mercy and love. In her diary, she says, I found myself so weak that were it not for Holy Communion, I would fall continually. One thing alone sustains me, and that is Holy Communion. Let me just add this here. All of us here, we have family members, we have friends, but you know, somewhere along the line during life, they're going to hurt us. It may be inadvertently, it may be deliberate, which is even worse. But somewhere along the line, the love that we have in human love will disappoint. Only God's love doesn't disappoint. And if our object of love is someone here just the time being, like the ultimate love, that person may die before us. And what happens? So our love always has to be transcendent, to the transcendent one, to our Lord. She goes on, from it, I draw my strength. The draw should be striving to do to draw our strength. In it is all my comfort. I fear life on days when I do not receive Holy Communion. I fear my own self. She knew that she was weak, that she was a sinner. Without Christ sustaining her, the love that she could go the other way. Jesus concealed in the host is everything to me. From the tabernacle, I draw strength. I draw power. I draw courage. I draw life. If you ever have a day that you're entering into despair or discouragement, and I hear people talking about, okay, I'm not happy about this in the world, and all, yeah, there's a lot of bad things. But what happens when we start getting down? We're focusing on the things out there. We're getting about Jesus and the Eucharist, and He's here with us. He's here with us. He'll give us all the necessary strength that we need. If we keep refocusing back on it. Yes, there's distractions of the world. You see all the crazy things going on. But focusing on Christ. The Holy Mother Church says, Holy Thursday, this reality check. Are you focused on Jesus who is real? Transcends everything. How are we doing that? From the tabernacle, I draw my strength, power, courage. Like here, I seek consolation in times of anguish. A number of people have told me this. I've experienced it. I hope everyone here has experienced it. Just spending time, maybe not even saying a prayer in your heart, just sitting in our Lord's presence, looking upon Him. A great peace can enter our hearts, you know? Just sitting there. Just sitting in our Lord's presence. The minute you get in your car, the minute you walk in the adoration chapel, that's already an act of faith. It's an act of love. You're sacrificing your time to be there. And God will strengthen you. He'll sustain you. He'll protect us from so many other different things by spending time. I seek consolation with our Lord in the Eucharist in times of anguish. Last line. I would not know how to give glory to God if I did not have the Eucharist in my heart. What she's touching on there is she's meditating on the great gifts and grace of God's bestowed upon the world upon herself. And ultimately, when we look at that, how can we thank God? By saying, Father, I offer you the heart of your Son, whom I received your communion to supply for what is lacking. I offer you the heart of your Son. So my dear friends in Christ, I ask everyone here, we're supposed to be Eucharistic people, we're Catholic, we're followers of Jesus Christ. He was incarnate there in Bethlehem, became a little babe in the womb of Our Lady, then born in Bethlehem. He's still here with us. He's still here with us. Do we really believe? If we do, there's going to be a desire in our heart. I want to receive Jesus more often. I'm going to want to spend more time in Eucharistic adoration. You know, the free will of God has given us, we exercise it. We love, that's what's true, what's beautiful and good, Jesus Christ, or do we fall for a lie? So let's ask our Lord today at Holy Communion, Lord, help me to love you above all things. We still love our neighbor, we'll call it love our enemies, but to love God above all things. If we get that right, or at least if we're striving for it, everything else will fall into His proper place. And let's ask our Mother Mary to assist us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.